briefly about 4 years ago at Tom Feltenstein's thing.
Wow. Okay. Newport.
I came up and said hi to you.
Sure.
At one of your speeches.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Your world has been good.
Well, yes, sir. Yep, we're here.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Within the realm of things, that works well.
Exactly.
So anyway, why don't make a note of, Edmund and I were working on a couple of things here, but why don't you make a note of whatever we had hanging, and then we'll just catch that at the end.
Okay.
He's also babysitting today, so we've got...
Yes, if you hear a little kid in the background, that's
his vice president in charge of marketing may require attention from time to time.
Right.
That's good. Keep it in the family a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Mr. Wu, you're on.
Okay. Well, I'll be frank with you. I didn't have a ton of questions to ask. I had bought Barry's book a couple of months ago and had not read it. And I'm afraid, you know, that if I open my mouth, it's going to show my ignorance of what was in the book.
That's okay. He wrote it so long ago, he can't remember anyway.
He can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did listen to the tape 3 times. I have to tell you, Bill, it was one of the better tapes.
Oh, great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
We're kind of a good team, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself, Barry, and then maybe we can just kind of take it from there until, you know, somebody else comes in. Yeah, I have a couple of restaurants, but the one that I'm focusing on is my original concept, and it's a 6-year-old concept that's a dinners only, States Fish and Wild Game place, and the name of it is Saskatoon. It's a small place. We have about 150 seats, and we started the first year with about $500,000 in sales, and by the third year had built it to about 1.1. And then, which I thought that the top of the market would be, given the size of it and being dinners only, would be about 1.3 and 1.4. This is all old news to Bill, but I hired a manager, a very numbers-oriented, a chain guy, to take over and take it from, you know, what I thought I was unable to take it up to, 1.1 to 1.3, because I'm not very numbers-oriented, I'm not very detail-oriented.
You go to count to 800,000.
About 900.
Okay.
Yeah. You know this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the questions Bill asked.
Yeah. And so anyway, so that's where we are right now. And so I'm getting ready to take it back over from him and you know, work it from the four walls on out. But just talking marketing wise, one of the things that one of our marketing niches has always been weekdays, Monday through Thursday. Is a strictly business entertaining, gold and platinum card kind of thing. Though, besides the concept itself and the radio advertising that we do, I've never have really figured out how to reach that market. And I think that's the one of the biggest potentials that we have is that market.
Okay.
You know, and we do have a good bit of it, but it's been about a haphazard. You know, I mean, I can't point to any one thing that we did or 5 things that said, you know, this is what I did to get this particular market.
Right. Now, you didn't really tell me what market you're in, so.
Okay, we are in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
It's about a town of about 300,000 people.
Okay.
It's about the second largest town in South Carolina.
Okay. And these business people, are they in-towners or out-of-towners?
Probably half and half.
Okay.
And some of them are coming recommended by the hotels.
Okay.
You know, some are probably recommended by business people in town. And then you obviously have the people that's entertaining in town.
Okay. You got a pen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go. Tell me what you do for the concierge.
Right now, there are about 6 hotels within about a mile of our area, and we don't have concierge per se except at one of them. What we do for the front desk people, though, we take food every Tuesday night.
Okay.
The 2 or 3 places.
Happy hour, you mean?
Sir? No. Basically, yeah, they have sort of a manager's reception.
Right.
I guess excuse me, like a happy hour.
Right.
And we'll take a little platter for 3 of the places that we do that for.
Right.
The other 6 places, I mean, the other 3, well, all 6 places, would take a entree and the dessert for the front desk people.
Okay.
What I'm trying to work toward, we have a preferred dining card,
right.
And my next project is I just hired an older lady to go out to those hotels where we already have those relationships with, and to try to get them to buy into an idea that we like to have a number for them at our restaurant so that when they send us people, we can give them credit for the sales, and it'll be the same as preferred dining, you know, a point for every dollar, $25 certificate for every 250 points kind of thing. Try to keep track.
Well, let me just, I mean, I'll throw my successes and failures of, you know, at you with that.
Okay.
Those guys work on instant gratification.
Okay.
Is what we've learned. They don't stick around long enough to reap the benefits that are required for a program like the one you're talking about.
Okay.
So you don't really win their hearts over because they're not there long enough to get enough points for you to give them their certificates.
Okay.
So what we've gone to basically is we took a national chain, you know, that can, since we're in different markets, you know, that can be used universally, and we picked Best Buy, for example. And, you know, I'm assuming your price point is probably $30 a person.
About 25, 20, 25.
So what we do, we're in the same price range. What we do is, you know, for every table that they send us, we send them a $5 Best Buy gift certificate.
Ah.
And some of that we do in trade and some of that we do in cash. But every day we have someone who's out on the street going back to last night's concierge and stroking them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you know, the win there is, you know, like in Austin last night, you know, they said, well, we got to make three stops today, but it was for 84 people.
Wow.
So,
three stops for 84 people that showed up last night to eat.
Right, and it
right.
was only, it was three tables.
Right.
One was a 30, one was a 26, and the other was whatever's left, you know, but
now,
it only cost us $15.
Right. And nobody calls and say, hey, you know, I got $5 for sending you two people, now I sent you 26.
Right.
That, you know, should I
really
not get
that.
More?
You know, they just like the instant gratification. And,
okay.
Of course, you know, our guys have the freedom. I mean, we've had parties that have been sent to us that were $4,000, you know, where we gave them, you know, $50 worth of certificates.
Right, right, right.
You know, so you have to take each one, you know, as you like. But, I mean, in this case, you know, they've been pretty steady and they're pretty happy with the $5 each table. So, you know, that's all we gave them back. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they booked again for tonight. So, you know, it's things like that that work. I would look at your whole market, though, and find out if there's a concierge association.
Okay.
And then I would, you know, roll out a program that you're comfortable with like that, but to the whole concierge association. So don't limit yourself that they could only get there from a 1, 3, or 5 mile radius.
Right.
They could come a lot further than that.
Okay, so I can go from, I mean, there are no, I mean, a lot, obviously a lot more than six hotels in the area.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, you need to be touching as many of those as you possibly can.
All right.
Everybody is, you know, a potential for you, and you can't exclude anyone.
Okay.
Okay, the next thing that I would suggest, away from the hotel piece, is...
Now, back to the hotel. We're talking concierge. We're talking the hotels that are small enough. We're talking about the front desk people, anybody that has the authority to send us people.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then we, you know, we have what we call seating cards. You know, so when a guest comes into our restaurant, we fill out a little seating card. And we have these Be Our Guest certificates. It's just like the size of a business card, and it gives them two complimentary beverages. So, yeah, we, in Texas, we have to call them beverages because we can't give away liquor, per se. But, you know, so on the card it says beverages. We don't really care what they redeem it for, margarita or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they give us the card. We attach it to the seating card. We note down and take that card, and that's our follow-up for tomorrow, you know, because the concierge wrote out the card and put his name on it and hotel on it. So we get those business cards in from the hotel concierge, you know, or the front desk people, that they, you know, they're kind of buying them a drink. It comes off like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you go to Old San Francisco? I'd like to buy you a drink. Here's a card.
Okay.
And then we get to pick up the card, and we get to say, oh, you met John from the Marriott. Yeah, he's a great guy. That's so nice of him to buy you these drinks, you know.
Right, right.
Make him the hero.
Now these are generic generic cards, but they don't have places for names. They just sign in their name on it.
They have a place for the hotel name and a place to print their name and a place to sign their name.
Okay. Okay.
And again, we put it into their, you know, we make it like it's there. So the guest leaves our place. They had a great time. They go back and say, John, man, that was so nice of you to buy me those drinks.
Right.
You know, thanks so much for sending me there. We had the best time of our life. Here's an extra 20. Now John loves us. He got $5 for sending the table, $20 from the customer. You know, and you're building relationships for as long as John sticks around.
Good.
Or, you know, hopefully, you know, a lot of what happens to us is John goes to some other hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at least we can go there and reacquaint ourselves with John down the road, you know.
Now, do you go to the hotel manager to get permission to do this?
Yeah, okay.
No, I think that's most hotel managers understand that that's
accepted. That's
part of what goes on.
Okay. So if I go, let's say, to a courtyard by Marriott, where there obviously is not a concierge there, but there might be five or six or seven people who work different nights.
Right.
And so I would need to go there and approach each one of those people.
Correct.
Okay.
Or you can, you know, find out who's, you know, sometimes it's just the manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to the manager of the Marriott Courtyards and we say, hey, here's our concierge program. Here's a little flyer on it. This is what it's all about. Here's the cards. You know, we look forward to you sending those people to us. And the flyer explains, or whatever we're handing them explains a little bit about the Best Buy program.
Right. Okay. And then as a small guy, I'm going to need to find somebody, maybe not necessarily Best Buy, but find somebody who likes that would be
well,
that.
What you might do is start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give them $5 gift certificates to your own place.
Right, right.
You know, that they could use multiples of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think that's enough of a perk for somebody?
You have to figure out what the amount is, yeah.
Right.
I mean, obviously.
Well, it's got to make some sense. You don't want to give them $20 for sending you a $40
right.
table.
Right. So you wouldn't want to give them a $10 certificate for sending me a $40 table.
Right.
No, I mean, you don't have it. You don't make 40. You
right,
don't make
don't
$10
make,
on a $40
right.
table.
Okay.
Well, so correct. Yeah, I mean, you have to give them something, and you have to get them to understand that they can gang them together, you know, so that the idea is, you know, you send us enough tables, and, you know, you collect these fives, and pretty soon you're going to have $100 to come into our restaurant.
Right. Okay. Okay, and then I need to immediately do that the next day because you do have that instant gratification thing going.
That's what's going to keep them top of mind for you.
Well, you get two things going, too, and I don't want to undervalue the personal connection of it,
mm-hmm.
that they did something, and here is a real person in front of them saying, thank you for doing that.
Right.
And here's something for you from me.
That's the most important part
right.
of it.
Right, not just for me, but maybe from the guests too.
Right.
Oh yeah, I mean they'll get that back from the guests, I guess technically you could set up a program like this by sending out a mass mailing to all the hotels, but it isn't going to produce the result because there's no connection.
Right.
And so
right. I need to get my marketing person in through those doors to make that personal connection with each one of these people.
Because it's all about relationships.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I mean, I go back to the idea that ultimately it's a one-on-one business.
Mm-hmm.
And the more one-on-one we can get, the more business we get.
Okay. All right. I'm listening.
Okay.
The second program.
All right.
I would think of is, we kind of call it the Guest of Honor program.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is we send out a letter to the businesses within the marketplace. And we recommend to them that they set up a house charge with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since your reputation is strong, it could be a prepaid house charge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the explanation being it eliminates, you know, credit card information, it eliminates, you know, transferring receipts, you know, those types of reports that these business people have to turn in.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is run a declining balance program with them where, you know, if they come in and they have a certificate that they get to put the amount on, you know, it, their name, the name of their company, you know, is in there when you mail it out to them. And, you know, the person's signature who you have authorized, you know, to run the house charge program from their company. And they can hand that out to clients. They can give it to their salespeople to use. And then they just come into your restaurant, show the certificate, sign the bill, and, you know, you attach the bill, you know, to the certificate that they gave them and, you know, deduct it from their existing house charge.
Okay.
And that'll help you with the other half of the business customer that's more localized.
And now I'm gonna not mask them, but mail and then follow up with a phone call and try to get a meeting for this?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. One of the things that I have tried over time, and it hasn't seemed to work really well, is I go through, like, let's say, the Chamber of Commerce magazines and the weekly business stuff, and anybody that gets a promotion kind of thing, I'll send them a little letter, congratulations, so forth, so on. Come by and visit us, and the enclosed is usually a certificate, sometimes $10 or $20 and that type of stuff. I'm surprised that I don't get a whole lot of those back.
Well, I've done that, and here's the answer why. Most of those people that we get out of the newspaper aren't really our customers.
Mm-hmm. You would figure, though, that those guys are moving up. They're business people. They're lawyers, accounting, Indian chiefs.
Yeah. What we've found is that, you know, the discount has to be deeper.
Right.
You know, $10 doesn't get somebody to come to my restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean,
how do you play that off with... I mean, how do you compare that to the whole idea that, you know, that you shouldn't, that you don't necessarily should be giving stuff away? And you know, the Outbacks of the world give nothing away.
Sure, but they have a mass marketing machine that we can't have. So, therefore, in order to compete, until you get that person to become a loyal customer, you have to fuel the pump to get them into your building.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out, you know, for us, for example, the number's $15. If we give someone a $15 certificate, you know, and they have to buy two dinners, we can get results off of that.
Okay.
So it's finding what number pushes the button.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, we've done successfully 25% off entrees brings them in, entrees only. But, you know, when we went down to 20% and tried to weed ourselves out of that, the response crashed.
Right. Yeah, I might try that. One of the things that I've tried recently this year is that, you know, there's so many benefit golf tournaments, and what we've been doing is putting $10 certificates inside, you know, the goodie bag that each one of these golfers get.
Right.
And the response, you know, it's just been, you know, sort of lukewarm. I mean, we get some back, but not you know, anything compared to what we put out there.
Up it to 15.
Okay.
And then see what the difference is.
Right.
And then up it to 20. And then, you know, if 15 didn't work, you know, until you find out what does it take to motivate somebody.
Right.
If they have a perception, you know, in their mind, you know, I'm sure you go through the same thing that I do. You know, we don't consider ourselves to be expensive restaurants compared to Ruth, Chris, Morton's.
Right.
You know, but in the customer's mind, you know, we're not in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So they might perceive you that way.
Right.
Therefore, you know, they still perceive you as expensive. I mean, I can tell you right now, we did a $15 honor roll school promotion.
Okay.
Where we sent out certificates that went to all the kids who made the honor roll.
Okay.
For the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the certificates are coming in, and, you know, they don't read them, you know, so until they get here. You know, and then we get to say to them, well, you know, because they start asking these questions, you know, so we can tell where this conversation's going. And we say to them, well, ma'am, you know, you have to buy two entrees
right
to get the $15. Oh, we do?
Right.
Leave.
Right.
You know, and
but that was not
successful
for you.
They want to buy dessert, or they want to buy an appetizer, you know, or something like that. You know, so it's more like they want something for nothing.
Sure.
You know, as opposed to the purpose of the promotion, and that is to get you to experience our restaurant. You know, you get a little bit of a discount. We're going to get some money. You get some money, and everybody's happy. You know.
But it doesn't always necessarily work that way.
Well, you know, in their mind, they want they want something for nothing. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but you know, at what point do you say, hey, you know, because one of the previous operations I had was a Chinese place, and we were doing all those kind. You know, we were doing the you know senior citizens discounts, birthday dinners.
Sure.
We were doing buy one get ones,
right.
And it got to a point where it just felt that 90% of our business was that kind of business.
Sure.
Nobody was paying retail.
Right.
And I'm very nervous about going out there and doing. Yeah, so I mean, if these people.
Let me tell you, you know how I did it. I put short expiration dates on these things.
Right. How short? Short.
Two months.
3 months.
2 months.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, this way, I know I could cut it off. And then
right.
I go, you know, I go a little bit, maybe a couple of weeks, where we're not doing anything, and we see what happened to our levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did we pick up some of these people as new customers? Are they strictly coupon people? Where are we? And then we measure that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, you know, this summer, you know, what we did was we promoted, you know, all the way till the end of this month, those end of the year coupons. Okay, starting at the end of the month though, through September 3rd, Labor Day weekend, we came out with a price point coupon. So there's no discount.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to get a prime ribeye or a piece of prime rib, $15.95 is a complete meal over the summer. You know, 9 ounce ribeye, 10 ounce prime. You know, when we averaged the two of them together, we got a deal. You know, I found a deal on the ribeyes, and you know, if they sold equally, our food cost would be 32% on the promotion. So. We're not really discounting it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's going to show up as a full $15.95 sale, you know. Plus, you know, in my case, you know, they could buy a souvenir glass that's $11, you know, with the drink in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So and this price point.
Some of that.
Yeah, this price point thing that you did, and where did you advertise that at?
Well, this is going. It's kicking off as our Father's Day promotion, and then from there it'll be in the newspaper.
Okay.
It'll be in all of our handouts. It'll be in all of our golf tournament goodie bags. It's going out to, you know, all the people who leave our banquets or, our, you know, to come back to the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
It's in all of our business development when we go business to business and say hi to people. That's the coupon we hand out for the summer.
Right.
So, you know, that's the coupon that we'll give to the hotel guys, you know, to show people what promotion we have going on.
And you just call this your summer special?
Right.
Okay. You obviously don't call it a summer price point special.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we're okay at $15.95 if they
right.
buy an appetizer and dessert and a drink, you know. We're
right.
We'll still get the $25.
Right. So the $15.95 is just for the entree itself.
Well, in our case, we're a salad and side full meal.
Full meal. Salad's included. So is our place.
Right.
Okay. So it's the appetizer, dessert, and drink that's on top.
Right.
Okay. But, okay.
So, you know, $15.95, we're not totally killing our servers, you know, by taking them away from a $20 entree,
mm-hmm.
especially during the summer if we could, you know, increase the volume because mm-hmm. the summer's our slowest time.
Well, have you ever tried, well, I know you probably have either the senior citizens type things or the early bird specials. How would they work on the concept this price range?
Well, you know, We don't take another discount off of that. That's why we made it into a coupon.
Right.
So our senior citizens program, which we call the Primetime Club, won't apply to that.
Okay.
So they can't get $15.95 plus 25% off the entrees if they dine with us before 6 o'clock on that special.
Okay. Can you tell me?
We don't pair up coupons.
Right. Can you tell me a little bit about your Primetime?
Sure. We go out to every retirement home. We have it, you know, a sign in our front lobbies. you know, that talks about joining the Primetime Club for people 55 and over. And it helps us drive the, you know, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock table into the building, you know. So mm-hmm. if you come to our restaurants between 5 and 6, it, you know, looks like an old age home.
Right. But you don't say they have to be there between 5 and 7.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so they have to be there between 5 and 7.
They have to be seated before 6:30.
Okay. So if the old guy comes there at 8 o'clock at night, he's not going to get that discount.
That's correct.
Okay.
Do you run a wait on that?
I mean, if we're on a wait, you mean?
Yeah, have you had a situation where...
Yeah, of course, you know. I mean, you know...
Mike Hurst had a deal that...
yeah, I mean, we give it to him. You know, if we sat him late, it's our problem.
Yeah. No, Mike Hurst, early bird, used to be 5 to 5:15, and you had to be there and get your ticket punched before 5:15, and then you're okay.
Right.
But... Said the last place in the world you wanted to be was in front of his door at 5:14.
Right.
Because
right.
These old coots would come around the corner on two wheels, and the door yeah. would open up, and Granny would roll out on the front steps.
Yeah, the old coots like us, I tell you.
Yeah.
But now, this is 25% off?
Right.
Off of the top of the bill, everything?
Just entrees.
Just entrees?
Right.
Okay.
What kind of a pull do you get on that, Bear?
I'm sorry?
What sort of... volume do you get on that? Do you have any sense?
I'd say between our four stores, we probably do 150 prime times a week.
150 per store?
Yeah. No, total.
Okay.
So that's 40 per?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
And you just do it, you do it 5 nights a week?
We do it 7 nights a week.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So,
so you're not looking at much. You're looking at
right.
In a 4 or 5 a night.
Okay.
Okay. More on the weekends, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Should it be more than that, do you think?
I think it could be. You know, again, it's, you know, the constant marketing of it. If, you know, if I had more people that we can do the primetime newsletter, you know, if we can make it a club, you know, which was part of our goal for it, which we haven't gotten to.
So it's not an actual club that they sign up for yet.
Right. They're signing up as individuals, and, you know, the goal would be, you know, to, you know, like if you have that marketing person, you know, if she can put that under her wing, you know, and, you know, send out a notice that says we're having our primetime club meeting, you know, if you'd like to attend, it'll be, $10.95 a person. We'd like to get to know you a little better. And they come to that event. Then from that event, you know, we say, okay, we want to choose a president and elect the president of this club, you know, and then it becomes a club, you know, and then all of a sudden it has a New Year's Eve party, it has a Christmas party, whatever, you know, and it becomes a live, breathing organism of its own. That's really the goal we set out when we created it. We just haven't had the manpower to get there to, you know, write the primetime newsletters, mail it out, tell them what's going on, you know, talk about people's anniversaries, birthdays for the month that are members of the club, you know, all of those things. So that's the potential, and that's what will make it really work.
And then at that point, it becomes...
At least 12 times a year, you know, giving them an offer or something like that to come in, you know, having a party for them. You know, because they're always looking for things to do, and it doesn't have to be low end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have a wine, you know, you take your primetime members and have a, you know, wine, a vintner's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got a built-in class act customer that'll pay you, you know, $50-$75 a person for a vintner's dinner, you know, because it's sponsored by the Primetime Club.
Right.
That's going to be interesting, because starts to take it away from being a way for the restaurant to build business. It makes it more like here's something that they are doing for themselves.
Right, and the nice thing is, you know, in the bylaws, as you create the club, it says, you know, all the functions have to be at your place.
Right. Well, and then I would think if you had somebody who said, you know, you got all these these old folks, retired people and whatever, and said, well, you know, you've got a retired journalist in there someplace. He said, well, yeah, I can do the newsletter, and say, great, if you want to, you want to do that, we'll pay you this way.
All right. Do you
you know, pay in meals or something?
Do you have a newsletter going right now?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We have not been able to put that piece of it together yet.
Okay. If you had to list the 20% of the marketing that's bringing you to 80% of the results, what would those things be?
Say it again now.
If you list the most high yield things that you have done as far as marketing for the restaurants.
Our highest stuff is always personal touch. You know, when we go business to business, we get the best response.
Mm-hmm.
When we go hotel to hotel, we get the best response. You know, those seem to work the best for me. The Primetime Club has a ton of potential, though, but it has to become a living, breathing organism, and you have to go at it with that idea and that vengeance and that
right. Knowledge
behind it to really make it that. Ours is kind of an autopilot deal, and that's why we get the results that we do, and, you know, we just need to do a better job ourselves of taking it to the next level, so that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Now, when you're doing business to business, and I know you call it your beauty power runs.
Right.
But we're talking about travel agencies, all the retail up and down the road. Are you talking about the big office buildings?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yep. We go door to door with the big sign, no soliciting, right on it.
Mm-hmm.
Walk right in.
Okay. And you're walking in with your wine and your cheese?
Yes, sir.
Not soliciting. You're giving stuff away.
Good.
Do you actually carry in your block of cheese and you're cutting it off, or you've already pre-cut cheese and pre-ball of the wine or whatever for each visit?
Yeah, we cut it up into little blocks, you know, little cubes,
mm-hmm.
and then we, you know, put it on a little tray and, you know, a little plastic plate or something, and it's wrapped in, you know, like a red cellophane and has a little sticker on it that's our logo shield, and we walk in with it and we, you know, hand them out.
Okay. And you're actually pouring the wine, or you're giving them each free bottle of wine?
No, we actually pop the cork, and, you know, in businesses that it's appropriate, and then in businesses where it's not appropriate, we have sparkling water, so we go in with that.
Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to do a cigar smoker.
Okay.
Have you ever done one of those, Barry, and maybe can tell me what I'm in for?
What you're in for is... You need to make sure it's in a in its own area of your restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Far away from those people who don't really want to have anything to do with it,
mm-hmm.
because they will complain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're not closing down to just do that event and you're doing it
in one of the smaller rooms,
and even in those, you need to make sure you have good ventilation and
okay.
You know, put a fan in there or something because, you know, it gets horrific.
Okay.
And, you know, even our servers complained, you know, so you have to first find a server that's willing to walk in the room.
That's all smoked up.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen that airline commercial, I think it was maybe a telephone commercial, and it's... you know, the stewardess walking into the airplane when it used to be smoking.
Right.
And it says, remember when?
Right.
Well, that's the same kind of deal you're going to have, you know.
Mm. Okay.
So you gotta have something there, you know, even if you rent them, you know, to handle the smoke and then make sure that it doesn't mess around with the rest of your clientele.
Okay.
Yeah, the other thing to be aware of, too, is that's going to get into any... sort of fabric and things like that. It's going to smell
seats and that.
Yeah,
type
it's
of
going
thing.
To smell like cigar smoke in there for a while.
It permeates the fabrics, you know. Mm-hmm.
So make sure we have in a room that's going to be a smoking room anyway.
Yeah. So if you're smoking in there already, it's permeated anyway. So
right.
Just going to do a little more.
Okay. One of the things that I've thought about, which I have not implemented, to try to get more movers and shakers in. What was to go to my assisting customer base who were, i.e., quote, businessmen, unquote, and ask them if they could give me five names each where I would treat those five people with their friend or whatever to dinner and make it look like it's on behalf of whoever is recommending these people. Any thoughts on taking that through?
Well, I mean, obviously your success will be huge. You know, I always say to my guys, you know, if we're buying dinner, they're coming.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the the question on the back end is, you know, the same question we always ask, are they going to come back?
Right.
And what are you doing?
That's the part you don't know. And, you know, that gets back to the old, you know, Phil Romano shtick where, you know, he used to walk around this restaurant and just randomly
buy dinner
on a Tuesday night, pick up
right.
his check. You know, nobody knew who it was going to be, so he built up his Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that kind of word of mouth can spread also, you know, and have a similar type of effect as opposed to you're going to buy five couples meals from your existing customer base. You know, first the existing customer would say, well, what are you going to do for me? So you're going to have to do something there too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that getting very costly for you.
Right, right. Yeah, my thinking was that.
Outstanding. I just don't know, you know, what the repeat of that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thinking was that we would try to make it a win-win thing, i.e., that if I was going to my customer who was a salesman, and basically it would look like he was buying dinner for one of his best clients.
Right.
And so we would try to make him a hero. And then at the same time, when his client came in, that, you know, obviously we pay him special care and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but at that point, so far, all you've done is give away a free meal.
Right.
You know,
it's
unless,
just like
unless
giving away any other free meal. Does that customer come back?
Right.
None of us can say that really works.
Right. I mean, how about,
you know, we tried a birthday thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We sent out a, you know, card and, you know, gave them a value up to $16.95,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they came in and, you know, had dinner for two and a glass of water, and then we still never saw them.
Right. Well, to take this idea a little bit further, how could we ensure that these people would come back?
You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think bottom line is you can't. You just have to. I mean, you know, if they're living 20 miles away, the odds of them coming in regularly for dinner are pretty slim.
Could we ask the? I mean, could part of the process be that you ask your good customer, your whatever, your advocate to pre-select the right type of people?
Well, maybe you need to reverse this. You know, let's think about it the other way for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we need to say to the good customer, hey, look, you know, we're going to give you this card. And, you know, what this card is, it has your name on it. And, you know, if you give it to somebody and send them to our restaurant, we'll buy them a round of drinks on you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then when we see you, we'll punch your card because we'll have that card with your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And every five cards that we get from you, we'll buy you dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That way, at least, you know, the good customer is getting the reward. The new customer's getting, you know, the drinks bought from the old customer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least you have a better shot at not spending as much money on the new customer until you try to recruit him as a
right.
good customer.
I mean, throw a twist on that. The customer, he has this card. He gives it to his buddy. His buddy comes in. He gets whatever he gets. You collect the card. Now you call the guy up and say, hey, you know, Jerry came in. Use the thing. We got your card down here. Come on down. Pick it up. Use it again.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back down to get his card, which is now then punched. But when he comes in, the odds of him spending something are better than if he doesn't come in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have an inventory of cards to keep track of. You have a reason to call him and invite him back and let him know that something actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's better or worse. That's just something different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think the twist is the opposite way, just like, you know, we're saying, you know, it's reward the existing customer, you know, and try to make them be the cheerleader to send in the other people, kind of like the concierge program, you know, same kind of card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now this guy, be my guest and let me buy you two drinks. Here's a card, and for every card we get with that guy's name on it, you know, he gets a stroke on his thing, and every five cards we get out of him, his next time in is free.
Right.
So, this could also be a perk of, you know, if you had a frequent diner club or a VIP group, you know, people join this little group, and here's one of the things that they get to do when they're a member of the group is they get to really bring their friends in for, you know, buy their friends a free round of drinks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then but they have to be in the group to do it, which means you know who they are and you've got some information and you can track them. And
mm-hmm.
it's not just pulling somebody out of the dining room and saying, hey, you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about a deal?
Well, I think I see that we're starting to run out of time. One of the things that we're trying to implement is a reservation software, reservation/seating software, where hopefully we'll keep track of people making reservations and how much they're spending and birthdays and so forth so on. But the software is rather complete in that it also keeps track of the people who are walk-ins. But when people are walking in, typically you don't have the information that you would have from people making a reservation, i.e. name, party, phone number, special occasion, so forth, so on.
Did you buy this yet?
No, sir, not yet.
Okay, I'll send you my stuff from Dallas for free.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Are you using a system like that in Dallas?
No.
Okay.
But we're leasing it.
Okay. Does it work? I mean,
no.
It has not worked.
No.
Okay. And how come?
It's too labor intense.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get the hostess, when you're into the shift,
mm-hmm.
to sit there and data entry all this information.
Mm-hmm.
They're way too cumbersome for us to use. I mean, even just to enter a reservation off of a piece of paper, to put it into that thing is a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've shortcut the whole system, and now they don't really use it. But when they were using it, all we really got, was a name and the reservation time and smoking or not and any kind of special thing, which we could easily write for a lot less money. Into a reservation book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds great, but you need a data processor to sit there and run those systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for most of us, you like me, we're running the front with a hostess, and she's not going to stop on Friday night and say, can you tell me your name, your email address, your phone number, your date of birth, your anniversary date, which is all the information that this thing wants,
right.
to keep good track, And, so therefore we end up with nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm. What system
that's
is
a
it?
Complicated,
what was the name of that thing?
RSVP.
Hmm, okay. Okay. Yep, I'd love to see it.
Okay, let me see what I can do with it, if I could pack it up and let you play with it.
Okay.
And then you can, if you love it, you can take over our lease because it's just sitting there doing nothing.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
I'm sorry that I turned out I was the only one that called today.
Well, those things happen. So
yeah.
It's your lucky day.
It is, and that's why I love calling.
Great.
And whenever I hook up with Bill, good things happen.
There you go.
Bear, are you guys growing your chain?
We're trying. We're out there hustling for some cash and things like that and players that will help us do that. So we're out there looking for, investment-type people that are
mm-hmm.
looking for, a company like ours, small, been around a really long time, time to expand it kind of thing.
Has that been tough? Have y'all been looking long?
Really only about the last 5 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Typically, what does the average old San Francisco do?
Our typical volumes are someplace between 3 and 4 million.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not an inexpensive package, though. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
What does it cost to put one up? A couple of 2 or 3 million?
Yeah, it's in there.
Wow. But still, with those kind of volumes, I figured people would be beating a path to your door.
Yeah, well, it's having the time to reach out and touch them that's very hard for me. When you don't have, that's not your world. Your world is the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to just get into the investment world business. And since there's no, place to just turn on a button and go, it's very hard to make the contacts of people who are venture capitalists like that.
Right.
Looking for those kind of deals. So
especially the ones that are looking for those kind of deals, right?
exactly. Especially when you mention that's the restaurant business.
Right.
Doesn't matter how long you've been around.
Have you looked at management contract for that?
You mean to for us to do management contracts?
Yeah.
Well, you do the investment group.
The investment group owns the real estate, gives you a contract to run it.
Right.
And then you just go in and do old San Francisco.
Yeah. Again, you know, the hard part is finding, you know, when we find people with that kind of money, Bill, they want Bill's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, wait a minute. I missed that completely. What was that?
I said when we find the people who have the dollars,
right,
they have the ego that goes with it.
Right.
They want Edmund's Steakhouse.
I understand.
They want Bill's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
They don't want old San Francisco.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I mean, if they could buy it as a franchise, they would do that, you know, if that was, you know, $200,000, that's a different investment than,
mm-hmm.
you know, $2 or $3 million.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why, you know, for franchising even, it's been difficult for us. You know, even scaling the building down to 10,000 square feet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it tough to go, and it would be even tougher to go out there to try to put together investment packages of smaller investors, because you have more people to deal with.
Yeah, it's time and effort, and, you know, trying to find even more bodies.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, at some point, sometime, you know, there'll be an easier way. But right now, that market is still very cold. You know, as bad as .com is doing, you know, you still can't get anybody fired up about, you know, getting in the restaurant business.
Right.
So it's tough. You know, it's really hard to find where it is, and you know, it'll just take time.
Yeah. How do you find time for consulting or for doing seminars and that type of thing?
Well, you know, I limit it. I mean, I really don't do as that many. You know, if I'm, you know, I might do 20 days this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, and again, for me, it's marketing.
Right.
The same way I get to meet you, or, you know, you get to run across somebody and say, hey, you know, I know about Old San Francisco Steakhouse. If you're looking for something to invest in or a concept to buy into, you know, I now have a friend in Greenville, South Carolina, you know, that might throw my name out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, that's why you do these things, is to, you know, broaden your network. And, you know, that's all I'm doing. I cast my net out, you know, as often as I can, in hopes that, you know, there's a fish in it when you pull the net back in.
Hope you get your net back.
Right, right. Yeah, that's my problem in the recent years. I keep on losing my net.
Yeah, I hear you. Believe me.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. I sincerely appreciate the help.
Well, it's really great talking to you again.
And thank you, sir, and I hope to see you again
soon. Touch base before the next 4 years.
Okay, please.
Perfect. Barry, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Thank you, my friend. Right,
bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye. Take care, everybody.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We done?
Well, yeah, we got it.
Okay.